Isn't it good to see Pastor Adrian and Lauren back in from being light and shining? They've been out. I know Pastor Adrian, your whole family been at the camp? Yeah. Where were you, in Pennsylvania? Mid-Atlantic District. Good to see you back. I know you left those folk in better shape than you found them. All right. Well, why don't we all move in close, because there's not many of us. And Jason don't see really well, so if you could get a little closer, he'll feel a little bit more like you're helping him worship. Now, I know you got 18 pancakes in your stomach and you can't stand, but let's stand. And if you feel so inclined to move closer up in here where we'll feel like we're together at least, and we're going to worship the Lord. You can sit for a moment. I do want to say that I want to just give a short background how this came to be. About 5 years ago, I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and I began a leadership retreat, for lack of better terms, down in North Carolina, my hometown, homeland. And I felt like the Lord said, you know, I will go ahead of you and meet you there. So I invited folk to come, and that first year, 7 people came. And one of those was Aaron Golden. And he was a brand new youth pastor and just starting. And I never really thought when I went home. Now, we have this every year, and this will be our 5th year, I think, coming up. And it's the first week, it's during the first week of November. So if you would like to come, you can go to projectgalilee.org and you can sign up. There's no charge for the conference, meeting, retreat. You just go down, find your room, you know, pay for your room and board, and just show up at the church that Porter Graves pastors, and that's where we meet. And so then I came back and said, you know, this has been a good thing. So I started what we call here Project Galilee Local, where people are articulating God's voice in their life, God's call. And I didn't know exactly why I started that. But as a result of the lay leaders, especially, who came to that, we launched Celebrate Recovery. It's amazing what God has done through this little embryonic idea of Project Galilee. And so this time I said, you know, I ought to bring somebody here from that to speak to us. And so that's what it is. It's really designed for people who are hungry and thirsty for all of God they can have. That's really what it's about. So thank you for being here. I said all that to say that you wouldn't be here on a Saturday morning unless you're hungry for God, I don't think. So I knew this would be a smaller group, but I don't think you should judge the group by the intensity of what God's about to do here. I say sometimes if we have a smaller group, we got more room for the presence of God, so he can really dump the saturation on us. So I hope you're anticipating, and let's pray for just a moment. I want to thank my life group, the Fig Pen Life Group, the, as Brother Nathaniel calls us, the Pancake Brigade, for bringing that breakfast on. Can you give a hand to the life group? And we're getting pretty good at that pancake and bacon thing, so we may take that on the road, get a food truck or something. I don't know, but I am so appreciative. And all of you who helped this morning, whatever you might have done, thank you so much, so much. Hey, Pastor Olivia, we want to come pray, open in prayer for us. First time I saw Olivia, she was on her mother's hip. Yep, full of sass. And she's not her mother's hip, but she said, I still am. You need that to deal with teens. They appreciate it. They love sass. So that's part of your anointing. Yes, okay. Would you welcome the Lord's presence, Olivia?
Let's pray. God, I just come before you this morning grateful that we don't have to ask you to come here, God, that you just show up, because you tell us when more than one are gathered in your name, you're here, God. I pray for Aaron as he brings the word and for the band as they lead us in worship, God, that we'll just sense your presence more than we have before, God. And I just pray that revival will start here, God, in our hearts. And I pray that as we leave this building today, that The Shenandoah Valley will know that HFCN had revival this week, God, because it starts in us. God, we welcome you here. We're just so thankful that you're here. We love you. Amen.
Thank you, Olivia. Brother Aaron's going to come for just a moment. If we could turn his mic on, brother. Thanks to Daryl and Patrick and Grace and the others who have been hiding away up there in the loft to make sure that we could have things. We're so appreciative. And I know Sarah Kinzer did a lot to help us get the lyrics in place. I just want to take just a moment. This won't take long. You guys will just stay right where you are. Aaron, you hold this. You want me to fix that for you? You got it? Okay, I didn't want you to hurt yourself.
I used to be an assistant.
That's right.
You know what they say about assistants.
Yes, yeah, I know. Okay. You can assist.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Aaron, last night Jason stood here and told us a few things personal about his life. I wondered if you might just tell us a little bit about the call of God on your life, how that came out of your childhood or your teen years. Just tell us a few things about you saying yes to God for whatever his plan has been for you, for his glory.
You can probably get the full version of this on, here's a plug for Grayson, Front Porch Talks, did a little interview with me. So if you want to get the long preacher version, that'd be the one to do. But I kind of specify a lot of the calling, I feel like, on my life through a few stages. First of all, being born in the tradition that I was, with a mom that really wanted her kids to come and know Jesus like she had been raised in. That was the biggest piece, and getting us in that little church in Atlantic Beach, the Catholic church that was a Nazarene plant with Pastor Carey at the time. This is where our lives, mine and your life, really converged. That would be one. Then second, I would probably say I was about 10 years old. I just really felt God having a strong work in my heart. I mean, we were sitting in a revival one night. I have no clue who was preaching. I don't know what he was preaching. I just know I heard Jesus, and I heard the word proclaimed in a way that I felt my heart stirred. Like, I wanted to do that. And then I finally came to know Jesus and proclaim him as my Savior when I was 16. That was a grand deal. And then wandered in and out for a lot of years. And then when I was about 26, I just realized that I had to go all the way in. My total surrender was really about giving up control of the pursuit of my life. And I knew that the call for me specifically was pastoring and preaching the word, and I had been reluctant to that. But I knew to be completely in with Jesus, I was just going to have to go there. And so that's when God really got a hold of me. And so that journey from there to here has been just remarkable in what he's done in me. So.
And you talked a little bit about how you're the only son, and your grandfather and your dad had a very lucrative business. They started out as brick masons, and they ended up as general contractors. And just say a little bit about, maybe just share some of the emotion, what that feels like to try to be saying yes to God and also at the same time gently saying no to Dad and Pops, you called him.
Yeah. So, my dad's dad, as I called him, Pa, was not... He's not a believer. He passed away this year, and so I spent a lot of time witnessing with him over the years, and I'm still holding out hope for grace. You know, I feel like grace is a large concept, and so I don't know what happened in those last moments, but I'm believing I'll see him, because Jesus is good, right?
He knew the way.
That's right.
So we just count on that conversation.
Yeah. So, but I mean, his whole purpose in starting a business was to provide for his family, but also it was to produce a legacy. And so my dad, he was raised in that and began to take over the company and shift in a different direction. And then I was born, and it's just what you do. We didn't have a lot of hobbies when I was growing up. I mean, we went to the Cape Lookout Lighthouse. We went out in the boat on the weekends. But predominantly beyond that, you worked. And work was life. And so for me, that was just part of my nature. Saturday mornings, you're working. In the winter, when you're not in school, summer, you're working. And so I just grew up in that environment. And so nobody impressed upon me the fact that I had to take over the business. It was just kind of unsaid that that would naturally be the transaction that would take place.
Well, since your dad was also an only son.
Yeah.
And you were an only son, and the name of the business was Golden and Son.
Yeah, that might be a deal there.
That
right?
might have been kind of a presupposed yeah. idea. Well, I just want the people to get some idea. Now, tell us about your wife and your children. Tell us about them.
My wife, Lene, I always joke about that. She's from Alabama, and the reason I married her from Alabama was because in Harker's Island, you could possibly marry your cousin if you're not careful. And so I didn't want that to really happen. So it's true.
So she came from Alabama with a banjo.
With a banjo underneath. But she's been faithful amidst the journey, man. Just to say, I mean, to put up with me, she's a great woman. We have four kids. Eliza, who's 8, Jude, our only son, who's 6.
Hey, Jude.
Yep, hey, Jude. Played that when he was born on my computer. Our third born is Elise, and she's going to be 4. And then we just had a new baby in March, and so she's about 5 months, Miss Elise. Evelyn, sorry.
Tell us how we can pray for Evelyn.
So, yeah, Evelyn is... we're kind of walking a journey right now. It appears that the plates in her, for her skull, are possibly fusing together way too early, and so we're just trying to walk out the path in that, and probably have. We've been to Duke a couple times, and so we're kind of reluctant of the reality of what may be ahead of us, possible surgery and stuff. So we're praying and believing that God's going to provide beyond just surgery, but. We feel like he's in control of it either way. So, yeah, it's one of those realities we're having to sort of face.
Both of these guys, Aaron and Jason, are church planters. And in the Wesleyan Church, they call it the circuit. So they are modern-day circuit riders. They ride out, they find out where the church is not, and they plant it there. And so it's amazing to see God has his people in every generation. And so we're just amazed, Adrian Hintel, Aaron. y'all kind of look alike, actually. You jog a lot. You could run with him. Not with me. I'm not into that yet. But, Aaron, we're amazed at what God's doing in your life. And I want you to know, we have a mission partnership fund here, and we have a drummer boy fund, and this family have been recipient from those funds because we believe that we're partnering with a lot of different folks. And Aaron's one of them. So if you've ever given, you've invested in this couple right here. And I think you probably feel pretty good about it. Hey, have a seat, Aaron. And Brother Jason, I know you know Aaron. So would you pray for him? And then just lead us in worship. We're so glad if you didn't meet Brother Jason. He's a phenomenon. He didn't tell me that, but I know he is. And Jason is from North Carolina, of course. And then we got Andrew over here on the bass. And we have Brian back on the drum kit there. And then we have Dylan over here picking and grinning. And we had a supper last night, and I'm here to tell you, it was holy ground. When I left, I knew I had been in the presence of the Lord. So these men are going to lead us in worship. And let's us stand and just be ready to worship. And we will say, we forgot to say it every night, if you get tired of standing, don't get upset. Just sit down and keep worshiping. But if you want to stand, you're welcome to stand or kneel or anything. Brother Jason, we give it to you.
Well, let's pray together this morning. Lord, we're just so... it's such a privilege just to be together. We're so thankful and grateful to be able to do this, to be able to be together freely and to worship openly this morning. We're so grateful for what you've done the past few nights. The way you've showed up and led us, Lord. Led us into a deeper walk with you. And this morning we just come hungry, Lord, and come expecting you to do another great work in our lives. And so we're just going to come before you with our voices and with our hearts open, yielded to you. We just declare this place and this time to be yours, Lord. We are your sons and daughters, and we're here for you. come waiting on you, Lord. We shift our attentions and our affections to you. Holy Spirit, we just open the gates. We open the doors for you to do a work with us this morning. This territory is yours. We are yours. Help us to hear you when you speak to us this morning, Lord. And may you just pour out an anointing this morning over us. We love you. And we want more and more and more of you. Hear our words, Lord, and know that we love you. In your name. Good to be together this morning, y'all. I hope those pancakes were good. We've had a great couple of nights, and I'm just so excited about the work the Lord has been doing in us and in this place. And so this morning, just expect Him to do something in you. Just expect Him to do that and yield yourself to sing another old song. I sang this the first night I was here. This is one of my favorites too, and it's got a little tag on it.
Bow out to the fountain of life. Wash me, Savior, or I die. But you alone save me. Brokenness is all I bring. But you resurrect and you redeem. Oh, you draw this fleeting breath. When my eyes shall close in death, as I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of Ages, clear for me. Let me hide myself in. Let me hide myself in thee. Oh, let me hide myself in thee.
So even when we just bring him our brokenness, he meets us with redemption, resurrection, and love, and mercy, and grace. And I love that about him. Because I don't deserve him. I don't deserve the grace. I don't deserve the mercy or the love. But he's just pouring it out on us lavishly. And he's so good. Is he good? Presence of God, darkness is cast out, that evil is cast out. I believe that in the presence of God, those things cannot even exist. They are just diminished. They can't exist in the presence of our holy Lord. So these things that plague us, darkness, guilt, shame, fear, they're cast out in his presence. And here's the beauty of it all. He is always with us. We forget that sometimes, and we can find ourselves in a dark place. We can return our minds to the Lord and remember he is with us, and these things are cast out. And when he walks with us, when he walks into the room, it changes everything. Brings life and light with him.
into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you. Starts to vanish, every hopeless situation ceases to exist.
Let's sing that again. I love those words. He brings hope with him. He brings healing and redemption.
Because when you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise, cause there is resurrection life.
Here for you. Come consume us, Lord. And we give you, Holy Spirit, we give you permission to do whatever you want in us and in this place this morning. Pray these words with me.
Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. And come and consume, God. Oh, we are, we give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you.
You come and consume, God. Oh, we are, we give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume us. Oh, we are. Our hearts are yours, we want you. Oh, we want you. We love you. We'll never stop.
never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. And we love you. And we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Oh, how there's nothing worth more than will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence I've tasted and seen. Of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free, and yet my shame is undone. And your presence, Lord, and Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come below. Hearts long to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more than will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen. Of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free, and my shame is undone. Oh, and your presence, Lord, we welcome you. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come below. Lord, oh, your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Help us become more aware of your presence, Lord. Help us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, us become more aware of your presence. Help us experience the glory of your goodness. Help us become more aware of your presence. Help us experience the glory of your goodness. Your goodness, Lord.
Amen. You are so good, Lord, and your presence is so sweet. There's nowhere I'd rather be. Presence, Lord. And I feel I can endure anything when I'm with you. So we long for more and more of you. We come seeking revival. We come seeking a more filling of your Holy Spirit. So would you just pour it in us this morning, Lord? We open the gates of our hearts, and we are ready to receive you. So give us yourself, Lord. Pour into us, speak into us. We want you. We want you.
True. There seems to be more of his presence in this room this morning. I didn't know how we could experience him any stronger. But then he just says, let me show you something else. And we get to worship him. to worship Him. Get to worship Him on a Saturday morning together. The witness of His Spirit so real. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Uncle Walt, do you have the bucket there that you could come and tell you what, just come stand here in front of me, Uncle Walt. Anybody who would like to give an offering today, just stand and bring it. Stand right here, Brother Walt. And if you would like to get an envelope to give tomorrow in the final love offering, I'll put those in here. You can come for those as well. You know, we want to take good care of the band. We want to improve the workers' quality of life when they leave here. We get to bless them. We get to bless them. And the Project Galilee Fund assumes all expenses that aren't met. But if everything is met, then the Project Galilee gets to retain its funds. But I know that you're faithful. I told the workers yesterday, I said, our people are generous, and I would be very surprised when you receive the love offering if you're not a little, maybe a little, hopefully shocked in the right direction that a church would want to bless you like that. That's been my experience with this congregation in any season. It seems like when some are away, others make up the difference. And I'm just so humbled by that. In the morning, we will meet again at 9 o'clock and have our services tomorrow. And Jason Tuggle and Delta Sun will lead us in worship. And be in prayer for them tonight. They're going to do a little visit in the valley this evening. Get to see a little bit what's around here. But in the morning, we'll come expecting. If you have friends or family, or I said a couple nights ago, I have a deep sense that if you know young people who just need to know God, I had one report where someone told me they brought a couple of college students or high school students one night, and after I had said, do that, and they were like, oh, yeah, okay, well, we'll go. And they left saying, wow, we're glad we came. You know, thanks for inviting us. So if you can make a phone call or send an email or a text today to someone that you think may find a new sense of energy for the interior life, invite them. And as I think God will honor it, any generation. But I just have had this deep sense that God ordered this season for us to put a focus on the present and the future generation of the church. And he certainly has been doing that. And I believe that we're humbled by that. Before Aaron does bring the word, let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hey, well, good morning, guys. Last night we saw that there was a faithful group to be here on a Friday night, but you're the even more upper echelon of faithfulness on a Saturday morning. So what we're going to try to do today is, first of all, I'm going to try to preach through about 10 pounds of bacon and 6 pounds of pancakes. The second thing I want to do before we get going is, some of you have asked me, and I just want to make this available to you, is that I do pastor a church plant called Union Point Church, and it is located in New Bern, North Carolina. And I've had a few of you come up to me and say, hey, I have some relatives or I have people I know in New Bern. Could you tell me where you're at or the address or this kind of thing? And I don't have enough cards to hand out to everybody with all the info, so I want to give it to you. If you have a pen, paper, write this down. Number one, you don't have to know someone to take the info to follow us. Please find us either on social media or the web address that I'm about to give you, and keep up with what's going on with us as a church, because first of all, we need your prayers. God is doing something there in the midst of what is a pretty hard ground. I think New Bern is a microcosm of the greater South, and most people don't go to church there because they've already been. And so the very fact that we have church in our name is probably an impediment in some degree. But what we have found is we have become a place of healing and restoration for people who have once given up on what the church had to offer, because they weren't being offered Jesus, they were being sold a bill of goods, okay? So that's the biggest thing I desire for you to do. But you can find us for the web address, here it is, www.unionpointchurch, union like yes the north, union point, not with an E, P-O-I-N-T, church, no space, all lowercase, .com, unionpointchurch.com. If you have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, whatever else is out there, you can find us on social media simply as Union Point. And you can tell the difference from us from any other Union Point, not that there is a lot of Union Points, by our logo, which has a bear paw in it, okay? And the reason our logo has a bear paw in it is because New Bern stands for bear. Bern is in Swiss, and Swiss translated bear. And so New Bern was founded by a group from Bern, Switzerland. So what better way to do it? There's already transformation happening there. Let's call this place New Bern. So that is why we have a bear paw. So if you're looking for us, I encourage you to do that. Please do so. Be praying for us. Some news for us and what's happening. Yesterday we signed a lease on a space for a 2-year lease. 1 year definite, second year optional. And so God's kind of given us some roots in the community. And so we're excited. We're going to celebrate that. The people don't even know about it yet, other than our leadership team. It's going to be a big announcement celebration for us tomorrow. And there's probably going to be a lot of excited people because they're tired of tooting chairs. So you're tracking with me on that, right? Okay. So that's business number one. Now, let's jump into what we've been talking about the last few nights. And so just to help us kind of get a running start at what we're going to finish up on today, hopefully tie the bow on it. Here's the reality about preaching for me. I think I'm tying a bow on it, and I just leave more loose ends. You know what I mean? So here's the reality behind that. That means Pastor Kerry's just going to have me come back so I can tie up a few more loose ends. You with me? Okay. So we're not finishing everything today. We're just kind of stopping. Okay? My granddad had a great saying about preaching. He said, always stop before you start. Okay? In other words, quit before you're finished because you're never going to be done. So we're not finishing today. We're just leaving it where it is. So we've been talking about this idea of a greater narrative, that God in Jesus' life imparted in us calls us to this greater story, this greater narrative of His whole redemption and plan for humanity. And we've been talking about why that is so significant for us, because often I feel like we sort of individualize the faith to a degree to where we feel like we're on an island of itself and we're not connected to anything greater beyond us. And if you're like me, man, you can hit the woe is me button real quick. I mean, you can really feel like you're the last of the Mohicans and you're the only one hanging on. And the reality is no, the story is much greater. The narrative is much greater than your chapter in the narrative. And so for us, we have to continually connect back in to find the flame within us, to see the Holy Spirit birth in us something completely new and emboldened by His power to go forth in His name in our community and in our world. So the story, the narrative, draws us in. And we've had a couple ideas that we kicked around. The first night we talked about how the greater narrative brings us into redemption. That the greater narrative is a story of redemption, how God buys back what was once His so that He can then, second point, resurrect us into new life. And this is what we talked about last night. God doesn't just buy us back at salvation. And some of us have just been living into this reality that, well, Jesus has purchased my eternity later, and we forget that He's bought us for the present now. And so in that present, God wants to deliver on His promise of resurrection in the moment we exist now, not just the resurrection from the dead later.
And so the greater story and narrative that is being told throughout the account of Scripture, throughout the history of the world, is that God is buying us back to establish us correctly with the purpose that He created us for. And we don't have to get to tomorrow on the other side in that greater shore in glory to experience God's power and resurrection now. Paul says that the Holy Spirit is transforming us from glory to glory. That means that that glory is here now. God has created us to exude His glory. We are His image bearers. Yes, tainted by sin, but still yet that spark is just waiting for the Creator to breathe in it once more so we can shine and live in that purpose once again. That's exciting to me. That's exciting to me because I've tried to live in my own glory and it goes bad quickly. If you don't think so, you can just chat with my wife on Facebook later. I won't give you that thread because I'm scared you might. So we've talked about the greater narrative of how God has redeemed us, how he desires to breathe in us His resurrecting power. And narrative, I just want to explain this again to us so we can see it again properly as we move forward to today. But narrative is defined as a spoken or written account of connected events. The story you are invited into right now in Jesus is connected with the story that began in the Garden of Eden. You see, what I love is what man separated, God has continually brought back together for His plan. He has not let anything get in the way of the pursuit of perfection to which He has created us for. So that narrative is completely being told. I think the third thing that the narrative has to offer to us is, yes, another R word, because I would not be a great pastor unless I had three consecutive letters pointing us in three different areas, right? You always got to have three of the same letter pointing us in different directions. So the R word for us today is renew. God redeems us in His greater narrative. He breathes in us His resurrecting life. And in that resurrecting power and life, He completely renews us. The other word for this would be, as we already have stated, transforms us. Now, Paul kind of writes about this in his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. And you're going to know this verse very well when we read it. So if you have your scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17 through 18. And just as a running start for this little portion of passage, Paul says in verse 12, he says, since we have such hope, what? That Jesus has come and in the glory of God, He has made a way for us to be reignited, reestablished, reconnected with our Creator and purpose. And then he runs into the reality of, listen, Moses, he had to approach the glory of God, covered his face because he could not look at the face of God. If you remember, he would come down from the mount and he would have to cover his face because the glory of God would shine so upon his face that it would just completely throw the people at bay. They were fearful of what was happening. And Paul says, listen, how Moses is shining, how he has had to look through a veil at God's glory. Now we have stared in the face of God's glory through His Son. And it is this glory that is completely upending our lives and making us new. Paul says in 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, we all chant, there is what? Freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. God, this is your word. It is the word we have read 3 days in a row. And Lord, today is no different than the other two. We desire to spend the next few minutes hearing solely from you, hearing direction from you, and finding clarity and purpose for our lives. So come and fill us now in only the way you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The best word there for me is in verse 18. It's the one we said is transform. The Greek translation of the word transform is a little better, and we know it. We've probably heard it preached a gazillion times. It's to metamorph or metamorphosis. And that is to change form, to transfigure. It is to be who you are, but completely transformed and changed, reoriented, your particles and cells and everything about you completely changed into something totally new. I would dare say that it's changed into something that it was intended to be. One of the things I love in my building background is I love building something new. I mean, my dad hated remodels. His philosophy was, if it needs to be remodeled, let's just tear it down and build a new one. It's easier to do that. I mean, it was funny because we would go look at small bathrooms and they would want to remodel it. And it was almost like my dad just claimed the whole place as wreckage. Let's just put a whole house in the pile and we'll build a new one. Which I know is lucrative for a man who makes a living at building houses. So that's great. It's like an upcharge in the car. You know, you want the XL model, but they want you to have the triple XL model, right? Yeah. You want the crank windows, but they, you know, they want you to get all the power windows, power door locks, navigation, seat massager, whatever it is. So it's always an up way to go. But there's something about the restoration. It's something about walking downtown in an old building, seeing it repurposed, that just opens my heart to the reality of the beauty of that place. There's so many places in downtown New Bern that are hundreds of years old that have transformed into completely new things, but the exterior shell still exists in the way that it was made. It's still existing. You can see many of the places of the brickwork exposed where they came over the old brickwork with spackle, and the spackle's now fallen off, and they tried to paint over the old spackle, but now it looks cool to have the brick hanging out. And it's a whole different place and purpose, but it shines to the glory of what once was. It shines to the glory of how it was intended to be. I love it. We have whole committees that have given their life to make sure nobody does anything to anything historical. We like to call them the hysterical societies. And you know what I'm talking about. Don't cut a tree branch. Don't paint the door a different color. You know, those committee things. They must be Baptists. But I love it about this because no matter how hard you try, and I have tried, no matter how hard you try to build something very much like what was there, it just doesn't have the mystique or beauty that old structure now repurposed for a different use brings. It's just a beauty there that you cannot recreate no matter how hard you try. It's beautiful. Now you say, where are you going exactly with this? Now, one of the greatest examples of transformation, the greatest examples of metamorphosis, we all would know as a caterpillar into a butterfly. Now, if you study the process of this metamorphosis there, as the caterpillar spins that sort of a web around them and creates this cocoon or egg, as they would say, to which they can transform into, in that process is something that blows my mind. The caterpillar turns to soup. The entire being of the caterpillar becomes an ooze. In fact, if you caught the caterpillar in the middle of a transition to a butterfly, if you cut the cocoon open, he would just ooze out. He turns into a pile of particles that becomes reorganized into something completely new and beautiful. But here's the beauty in that. The caterpillar, before he entered the cocoon, had all the parts in him to become the butterfly. But in order to get to the butterfly's position, he had to become completely malleable and completely an ooze so it could be reorganized and repositioned into the way it was originally intended to be, that he was born with in the beginning, becomes something far different in the end. They say, what in the world do you mean by that? You see, for most of us, I think, here's what we often forget. Is yes, Jesus wants to make us new. He's come to give us new life. But we have been born in the image of God, created in the image of God. Yes, tarnished by sin. But like the caterpillar, we're walking around with stunted wings, waiting to be reorganized and repositioned into the way that God had originally intended. So that means all of us are walking with the properties of which God has made us with, and His life in us completely reorients and transforms them more into His likeness, which was originally intended in the beginning. That was a lot. You tracking? You tracking? You see, some of us, we want to be done with everything in our lives. Like, When Jesus comes in, we're expecting like everything to be cut away. Just give me a new life, right? I mean, maybe you have lived in the worst hells ever. You've had the worst relationship experience. You handled your money terribly. You've handled your whole life terribly. And when Jesus comes in, you're just like, would you just get me out of here? Just give me something new. That's the hope we live in. But the problem is we've misused the things that God had created us with because of sin, and that is the issue. It's our misuse of the properties that God's given us. We want to escape the properties that God has born in us and desires to come in and breathe new life into, when in reality He's going to take those things that are already in us and reorganize them for His glory. And some of us, we never enter into that cocoon stage and enter into that ooze of which the caterpillar finds himself in the midst of before becoming a butterfly, because we're scared of ever getting to a place of being malleable to where God can ever reorganize anything. There's a word for that. It's surrender. We don't want to come to the place and end of self to the degree that, listen, we are in that place where there's no reorganization on our behalf. God's just taking everything that has been in us and remaking it and renewing it into His likeness. You see, what I said last night, and I realized when I sat down, I said, you know, I don't think I finished this very well. When Jesus says you have those two options, either I can fall against you and you be crushed, or you can fall against me and be broken into pieces. Here's the reality. He doesn't say you be fall against me and be totally evaporated. He doesn't say, like, you're going to fall against me and, like, everything about you is going to completely go away in how you experience now, and I'm just going to completely zap a new you in existence. No. If it falls against me, if you fall against a stone, you will be broken into pieces, and those pieces are reorganized into which God has initially intended them and put back together the way He wants them. You see, there's more to me in my mind, I think, and this is my thinking. So don't think you've got to leave here with my thinking. I'm just presenting to you the way I kind of am processing it, is that God's redemption of our entire self is oftentimes not about losing completely all of ourselves. It's just simply surrendering all of ourselves so He can reorganize all of ourselves so all of ourselves can bring Him all the glory. And oftentimes, it's all of ourselves that we're fearful of. It's all of ourselves that we have allowed to be the impediment between getting to the malleable state that God desires to reorganize us into. Oftentimes, it's all of ourselves, the experiences, the things we have been through and experienced, the very things that Paul says that the suffering produces. Here's what I can say about holiness, I think, on the side of it. You don't hear me say holiness a lot. Why? Because a lot of the people today don't understand churchism. You might as well be speaking Vietnamese. We can say sanctification in different language. We can say holiness in different language, and people understand it. But you, and now I got to remember where I was going at with holiness. You tracking? Okay, good. Holiness transformation. I'm working. Doesn't matter now. Our past. Sufferings. I almost had it. I don't know. Our past. You got to love it. I'm cool. Are you with me? I'm just mortal, right? I'm just here hanging with you, man. Here's what I know about a message. Sometimes you don't know where they're going, and you wish you knew where they were going. So, for a lot of us, I think about our whole self. We think about the experiences, sufferings we have been through, and we think that they are never going to be used again. We just want God to alleviate them, when in reality, those experiences of sufferings that really Paul talks about, here's where I'm going. Holiness cannot be experienced but through suffering. Suffering is the product and the producer of holiness. The suffering of your life is the very thing that God reorganizes to produce and create His holiness in us. So to redeem the entire self and experience is to produce new holiness. He's redeeming the suffering for His glory. Church, let me say this. I think sometimes in some of our settings, and I know Pastor Kerry preaches on suffering, so I'm not concerned about that. But what concerns me oftentimes about the church is we have lost the teeth of the gospel because we forget about suffering. We think people just want to hear how they can get away from suffering, that we don't teach ever about how we are to strive and contend and persevere and find holiness amidst the suffering. We just want to provide a way for them to get out of the suffering when Jesus' likeness is produced in the suffering. So God's whole redemption of the suffering is not so we can live in pain the rest of our life remembering the things we went through. No. It is to redeem the whole self that His glory can be presented through the things we have experienced. Now some of you are older in the church. And there was a time where testimony ruled, right? I would dare say that we miss out on the testimony of the saints today in the church. Bacon's about to kill me. I'm burping here. Testimony produced this encouragement because out of the testimony, we told about the things that God had done amidst the pain and suffering of our lives, and other brothers and sisters heard those things, and they thought, hey, you know what? If they went through that and God produced this in them, what could He do with me? You see, the redemption of the whole self is not just God wanting the few good things you think you have to offer. It is producing the whole self. It's redeeming the entire self, the things that you dare think are the worst products of you, so that God can shine His glory in it. Can I say this? I think God often produces His glory in the places we think we are most useless. God often doesn't get the glory in the things we think we're great at. Why? Because the things we think we're great at, often we're using for our glory and not His. You see, our past and the sufferings do not have to be an oppressor of the present and future. And that's what God is releasing us from. He is not bringing the past up to bring you more pain. No. But our past should stand as a reminder of what God will do in us. It is like the old building downtown is beautiful and been repurposed. It has new meaning and new properties, but here is still the whole entirety of from the one that created it. And that's what's beautiful about it. I think about Jesus' resurrection. He had a new body, but what did He show the disciples to prove that it was Him? What? The holes in His hands. I'm thinking, wait a minute, time out. Jesus got a new body and He still got holes in His hands? That don't make no sense. That makes no sense to me. What I think, again, this is me. What I think is that Jesus, when we look at Him, we're going to see the actual sufferings that produced our salvation in Him. It was a hard suffering for Jesus to produce what we experience now. And for some of us, we want to erase everything that was ever bad in our life. We wish God would do that. But really what it should be is like holes in our hands that prove to others the testimony of God's provision in the middle of what we have gone through. So a renewing, a repurposing is still seeing what once was, but now made into something completely new. The caterpillar is broken down completely, and those particles are still existent of what once was, but now repositioned into something completely new and beautiful. Metamorphosis. To change form. To change your form. You see, the pieces of our life, when we fall against the rock and those things are broken, are repurposed and transformed It is all of Jesus in us, yes, but it is still us that God has made now in the likeness of Jesus. Here's the beautiful thing about Jesus, I think, is that Jesus was in the form of God and man. We look at Jesus and see the fullness of God, but we also look at Jesus and see the fullness of which we should have been. And so God imparts Jesus in us through His Holy Spirit. We are made in His likeness to repurpose us and remold and shape us back into, as close as we can be, this side of glory now, to be the Aaron that He had designed from the beginning. That sin has so tarnished and enslaved and shamed, God has come as His Son so that He can make me into the one He had initially desired to exist. So church, I think for us, as we kind of close out today, this world around us, the one we exist in, I am not a buyer of the seller of goods that we need to just hunker down and just kind of hold ground because the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I believe there's no greater day than this day for the gospel to pursue people's lives, for the gospel to be inflamed in our lives, for the gospel to take root in our communities. I think people today are more hungry than we have ever known. I think people are further to the end of themselves than we have ever experienced, because especially in America, we live in a place, even though it is plagued with poverty and abuse and all these things, we live in a place where men have had everything and still have found nothing. And so I hold out hope because I know Jesus, if I woke up this morning and breath is in me, then there's work to be done. And He said that the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. So if He's given me breath, I best get to working. If He's given me breath, there's more glory for Him to be had. And He's sending me out as His ambassador to tell the world of His narrative and be as Jesus on the shore and say, come with me. Come, let me show you. Come and see. The world is not looking for 10 more steps to follow. The world is not looking for solely how to make just their life better. They are looking for a life that produces value and worth. They are looking for a love and intimacy that they cannot produce themselves, because all men can do at best is produce novelty. They are looking for a level of life that is so intimate that it rattles their complete world and gives them purpose and hope and meaning. And let me say this, in them, yes, the least of these, the worst that we think are sinners, is everything like the caterpillar that God has created them with, and His narrative will awaken in them through His Spirit if we are faithful to go into the workplace and spread the gospel. His narrative will awaken in them, reposition their lives so their purpose can be aligned with His glory. And that is the call, I think, of the church. That is our call today. I'm going to ask you one last time today. How are you entering in God's call to His narrative? How have you come to grips with the reality of God's redemption, yes, for your life, but also experiencing His resurrecting power in your life and seeing your life completely renewed and transformed and those particles reoriented into more of His likeness? Have you gotten out of the boat with Zebedee and just left it there and thought, you know, I have nothing better to offer? I mean, I'm not getting anywhere with this thing. It's about time I just see what Jesus has completely for me. Have you just been living in the small sentences of God's narrative, or are you completely connected with the whole totality of God's whole narrative? We are but a vapor, yes. But a vapor does have an existence, as quick as it may be. How are we using that small vapor that we live in right now, in this moment? How is His narrative exuding from our life, calling out to others, and drawing men's hearts to Jesus? Church, let's live in the grand and great narrative of Jesus. Let's go all in for the one who made us and knows what we were made for. Let's go all in wherever we are, young, old, middle-aged, digging a trench, performing surgeries. Wherever we are, let's go all in the narrative of Jesus. Let's go all in the narrative of redemption. Let's go all in His resurrecting power. And let's see our lives completely renewed by His love, mercy, and grace. As the band comes up, we're going to pray. Jesus, You have met us here the last 3 days. And God, I think You are just, I just can't get over the vision of seeing You just standing there on the shore with those disgruntled guys in the boat and just saying, hey, you don't have to get better before you come with me. Just come with me where you are. Lord, I'm not certain about everybody else, but I know me. And Lord, I just want to be that ooze in that cocoon. I just want to see You reorient and reshape my life in order to Your glory so that, Lord, You could be praised and draw men's hearts through my life. Lord, would You bring us to that place of surrender of our entire being, because You want to redeem our entire self, everything that is us. You want it to be everything that You are. So, Lord, would You bring us to that place of release? Would You grip our lives with Your grace? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We sing these words over and over this week, and maybe it's a theme. So I'm going to do it again. They won't be on the screen, but it's just a real, real simple line. Abba, Father, I belong to You. Sing those with me.
Abba, I belong to You. Abba, I belong to You.
Questions at the close of our services. Respond to these three ideas. Thursday night, who wants to be an extension of his redemption? Friday night, who wants to experience his resurrection right now? And I believe this morning, who wants to enter a relationship with God where your old ruins are renewed for His glory? Who could turn that down? Listen again. Who wants to enter a relationship with God where your old ruins are renewed, transformed for His glory? If you would say yes to that, I invite you to just come stand up here in front of the cross, or kneel, or sit on the front row. And as the band leads us, it'll be our prayer. If you haven't been here and you just want to say yes to all three, you want to be an extension of His redemption, you want to experience His resurrection right now, fresh, anew, you want to enter a relationship with God where your old ruins are renewed, yes, transformed, reoriented for His glory. And I say yes, yes, yes. And all in favor said aye. Let's worship as our benediction and our song and our response now. With whatever Jason just has on his heart.
From thy wounded side.
sin, the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. 'Cause you alone save me. In brokenness is all I bring. Simply to your cross I cling, naked come to thee for grace, helpless look to thee for grace, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me Savior or I die. You brokenness is all I bring. To resurrect and you redeem. And you alone save me. You alone. You alone save me. Brokenness. All I bring. Oh, but you resurrect and redeem. And you alone save me. And Abba, I belong. Abba, I belong to you. Abba, I belong to you. Abba.
Grateful for this season that we were able to seize. And we pray that the season of revival will now give way to a lifestyle of revival. Lord, I've been standing in the rope circle these last days and ask you to start revival in the circle, and you've been faithful, and I am humbled. I pray now a blessing over each person who forfeited their day, sacrificed their morning to be here. I believe that it will prove to be a sacrifice that keeps on returning righteousness to our lives. After all, you are worthy of all our worship and all our praise, all our sacrifice, all our suffering. You are worthy. And I pray, God, blessing over Pastor Aaron as he begins the trek home, that he will have sweet communion as he travels with you. And I pray that Jason and Andrew and Brian and Dylan will continue to be blessed in your presence here in our home community. And Lord, we anticipate that you will continue to minister to us throughout the day and throughout the night. And when the morning hour comes, that you will have created anticipation within us to be back with your people, to worship and to hear the word again. Abba, we do belong to you. And we're so humbled that that must also mean that you belong to us. And you are the possession that our hearts hunger and thirst for. So earlier I heard Brother Jason pray, God, give us yourself. Give us yourself. And we continue to ask for that reality. And all the people said, amen. Go in peace.